I am for truth, no matter who tells it. I am for justice, no matter who it's for or against. And this week's opening quote comes from Malcolm X. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Who am I, and how on earth did I get here? When I was 4 years old, I quite literally thought that I had been born into the wrong reality, that this is a complete madhouse, and I wanted to know why. I wanted to know how it got that way. And I wanted to know who I was and what I was doing in this realm. And these are the questions that got me started on this quest when I was very, very young. And the older I got, and the more I looked at the world and looked at the society that we live in, the more profound the questions became. You know, I saw that the world was all messed up from a very, very early age, and I always wanted to know why. And I spent most of my life trying to figure out what has happened to interfere with the human experience to the extent that we have created the societies that we've created. What happened to lead us to this point? How did we ever become so divided from each other and so divorced from the earth that we live on? You know, and the hatred and the division of the religions, the races, the genders, everything, where did it all come from? Where did racism come from? Because racism is taught. It's not something that is natural. You know, when I was a child, when I joined school, when I was 5 years old, my very best friend, the first real friend I ever met, was a little girl called Helen Kimber. I'll never forget her. She had the most wonderful eyes and the most wonderful smile I'd ever seen, and we became best friends immediately, but I wasn't allowed to play with this little girl, and a week later I was beaten up by other kids at school because I was playing with this little girl. And I could never understand why, and it wasn't until I was 17 and I looked back on it and I thought about it, and I realized that she was black. I don't know whether she was one of the original people or whether she was perhaps Indian or Middle Eastern. She looked Caucasian, but she had black skin. But I didn't know that when I was a child. I didn't see the color of her skin. I saw her eyes and I saw her smile. What I saw was someone who was real. She was the first real person I'd ever met. And I don't know how to explain it any other way, except to say that she was genuine. She was real. I didn't see her skin color. It didn't make any difference to me. And it's not even a matter that it didn't make any difference to me. I literally didn't see it. And so I know racism is taught. Where did it come from? You know, and I've spent my life as a humanitarian, as an activist. I've done everything I can to help all people of all races, all colors, all creeds, all cultures. I'm a white man, but I'm also a man of the Noongar people of Western Australia, the original people of this country. So I have ties to both worlds, but my skin is white. And through everything that I've done, I've been taught to dislike my skin color, to distrust my skin color, and to blame my skin color for everything that has happened to the world. And if everything is a play, which everything is, then I have to ask why. Because the world is not run by races. The world is run by psychopaths. And the reality is that when a psychopath becomes the leader of any institution, whether it's a company, whether it's a business, a government, or anything, then if that psychopath is able to control the rules that are put into place within that system that he is controlling, then the morality of the psychopath becomes the morality of the system, and that system can be used to carry out the will of the psychopath. And nothing that's been done to the world has been done by races or by religious faiths. It's been done by the psychopaths who control those mechanisms. And until we're prepared to admit that, and until we're prepared to put all of this divisionist programming down, we're never really going to get anywhere. You know, something that I've found in all my years of research is that whenever I think I've found the end of the rabbit hole, there's always a bigger picture, and it's that bigger picture that people generally miss. And if you consider that perspective and take it into account, perhaps the questions that need to be asked are, why did the white races do what they did? Or perhaps a better question would be, why was it the white races were chosen to do what they did? Who made that decision and what was behind the choice to do so? Because all the world is a stage, and as I said, the world is not run by races. The world is run by psychopaths. And that's what I've been attempting to investigate in the last few shows, and it's been quite interesting to see the response that I've received for doing so, for daring to even suggest that it may be some type of psychopathic mind control that caused these races to do what they did, and to even dare to suggest that there may be something positive that exists in the roots of the white race. Because we had to come from somewhere, and nobody seems to know where white races come from. They just seem to have magically appeared, and nobody knows why. And any attempt that I make to attempt to find the roots of where my skin color comes from, I seem to get attacked and called racist by every other race on Earth, who is all encouraged to stand up and find the roots of their own race, and yet I seem to be discouraged from attempting to do the same with mine and to find anything positive at all about the white races. And again, I have to ask why that programming exists. Because I'm a white person and I've spent my life as a humanitarian. I don't do bad things. I don't have bad thoughts. I don't wish to kill people. I know this isn't a racial thing. But the question again is, why can every race look for the roots of their race and state something positive about those roots, but no one from the white race is allowed to do so without being attacked and accused of being a racist or a white supremacist simply because of the actions of those who have controlled the white races and purposefully given the white races the blame for the actions of the psychopaths who've been controlling them? That's the question, folks. That's the question that I'm asking. Why was the white race chosen to carry out all of these acts? It isn't because the race was psychopathic, because there is no race that is psychopathic. Skin color has nothing to do with anybody's moral state. I mean, through all of it, folks, I'm just encouraging people to think. That's why I don't usually state positives on things or state what I believe on things. I'm simply encouraging others to ask the questions. You know, through all the shows that I've done recently on ancient history, again, I haven't been stating what I believe any of these answers may be. I'm just encouraging people to ask the questions. Because there's so many mysteries involved in these lost civilizations that existed, and I'm not talking more than one. I mean, it goes way back, folks, looking at Atlantis, Lemuria, even Hyperborea, which existed in the north, which may still exist. Who knows? We can't get there. It's anybody's guess. But all these races had to come from somewhere, and they had to go somewhere. And even when you look at some of the Mayan steel that you see, such as the steel that was destroyed in the German Museum, which depicts the destruction of a land called Aztlan that sunk beneath the ocean and shows the survivors being picked up in boats by South American people, obviously white people, because they have blonde hair, as you can see from the steel. The question is locating the real history that's been hidden from us. And you're never going to be able to do this if you've got a stake in the outcome of what you're researching. If you want one particular thing to be true and you're looking for things to reinforce that idea, then how are you ever going to find out what the truth is if you've already got a preconceived notion? And there's been a whole bunch of talk, you know, life came out of Africa. And so now we assume that to be true and we factor that in with everything we're looking at. But what if it didn't? What if it came from somewhere else? As I said on the show last week, they're saying life came out of Africa because of African DNA, which has six different genome types, but they neglect to tell you that the original people of Australia have 32 different genome types. So it would indicate that life didn't come out of Africa. It came out of wherever the Australian Aboriginal came out of, because they're at least six times older than the African Negro. So that's the problem. You know, people have a stake in the outcome. They want one particular thing to be true. And I don't particularly want any side to be true. I just want to find out what the truth is. And I'm quite prepared for the threads to lead anywhere they go. Because as I said, I don't have a stake in the outcome of where they may lead. I just want to know. And so much has been misconstrued as well lately with what I've said. I've seen people posting comments saying, this man is saying Rome never existed. No, I'm not. I'm saying the Roman Empire as such probably never existed, but was probably part of a worldwide culture. Because you can find evidence of this architecture in Rome, you can find it in Americas, you can find it in Australia, you can find it all around the world, you can even find it in Japan. And by saying that, someone said, oh, this man's saying white people were in Japan before the Japanese. No, I didn't say that. I simply said the Japanese were part of this ancient culture as well. So many people have misconstrued what I've been saying, again, because any attempt to find anything positive about white people seems to be construed as racism. And I'm simply questioning this programming. And if it can be seen that there was this ancient culture that somehow had some type of advanced technology that it brought to the rest of the world, then that might perhaps explain why all trace of this civilization has been wiped out and why there is now a very concerted effort to destroy the white races. And people might say that's not happening, but it is happening, folks. I mean, the white races are a minority on the earth now. So really, when you look at it, being white, I'm part of an ethnic minority. But if I ever try to state that or say anything in defense of my skin color, I'm vilified by every other race out there who is encouraged to stand up for their skin color. And even through that, through my life, when I've looked at what has happened to the world, I've blamed the white races myself. So I've been taught to hate myself and taught to despise my skin color. And think about what's socially acceptable in our politically correct world today, folks. You can make jokes about white people as many as you like, but if you make jokes about people of any other skin color, you're perceived as being racist. Why is that? Why have I gone through my life having to listen to constant racial slurs against my race, and why have I been programmed to dislike my own race? Because everything is a play, so why have we been all taught to think this way? And you might say, well, we all think this way simply because of what you white people have done. But again, it's not the white people, folks. It's the psychopaths that control the system. And they use the white people to do this in order to give them the blame so we would all feel the way we do now. The question is, why? The problem is that it's very difficult to even ask a question like this these days, because as soon as you ask it, people say, well, this guy's trying to be an apologist for white people. They step right back into racism and they blame an entire race. And it's not being an apologist for anybody. It's simply asking a question. And is that white supremacism? No, it's not, folks. It's simply asking a question. Because I'm a white man, but I'm also Noongar. And I respect people from all races and all cultures everywhere on this earth. The question I'm asking is, why have I and everyone else been trained not to respect my own? And seriously, if people are going to call me a racist or a white supremacist for daring to ask such a question, or for suggesting that there's good in all cultures, that all cultures and all races have something to offer to the world, or for suggesting that all races put down their differences, see how they've been played, see the beauty of each other, and simply respect each other, then I would suggest you're giving a programmed response, and your response itself is racist. So I guess the other question is, are people prepared to look deep enough within themselves to actually see that? You know, divide and conquer is the motto. Play the religions off against each other, play the races off against each other, play the nations off against each other. Shout down and attack and belittle anyone who attempts to stand in the way of that or heal these divisions, and allow the human race to kill themselves. You see, the real problem that we have in the world today, one of our big problems, is that people very often don't think for themselves, and the thoughts that they have are not their own. And sometimes they never pause to ask the question, where do these thoughts come from? Do they come through your own human interaction with other human beings, or is it simply a program? And even for all the white people out there that have gone through life the way I've gone, feeling guilt for being white, for what the white races have done, what's that all about? Where did it come from? It's like this collective white guilt that's been forced over the population. The way they've done in Germany, the collective German guilt that the German people feel for what happened in World War II, which didn't happen that way at all. And yet you have young kids in Germany, young 14, 15-year-old kids, that want to commit suicide simply because they were born German, because they believe the German people did this terrible thing in World War II in the form of the Holocaust, which didn't happen. And I don't care what anybody says about that. You can go and investigate that all you want. There was no Holocaust of Jewish people in World War II. It simply didn't happen. There is no evidence to support it. I don't care what the eyewitness testimonies say, because most of them are liars. Most of them actually admit their lies on their deathbed. So I really do suggest people go and investigate that. And I know it's a real taboo topic and you're not allowed to say what I just said. And people will have all sorts of terrible ideas and they'll be in disgust and they'll call me a Nazi or whatever. And it's all ridiculous, folks. And it's all because you've simply believed what you were told and you haven't gone and researched it. But I've been to Germany. I've visited all the camps. I've got all the aerial shots, all the reconnaissance shots from World War II. I've got all the copies of the Enigma Code. I've got so much evidence of World War II, so much research of World War II in my house here. I can find no evidence of a Holocaust of Jewish people. You can look at newspaper reports for the time. You can find it clearly reported there are only 600,000 Jews in Germany just before World War II. You can also look at the census figures for after the war. You can find the world Jewish population actually grew by 6 million people between the years of 1939 and 1945. You can also look at the transfer agreement. You can find out how Adolf Hitler moved at least 20,000 to 200,000 Jews out of Germany in 1933, rounded them all up, put them on trains, took them out to camps, trained them how to live in the desert, and shipped them down to Palestine along with all their assets. It's in a book written by a Jewish scholar called The Transfer Agreement. They even minted a special commemorative medallion for the occasion, which featured a Star of David on one side and a swastika on the other with the inscription, "Ein Nazi fährt nach Palästina," a Nazi goes to Palestine. So if people are claiming they were rounded up and taken off to camps, yes, there were people rounded off and taken to camps. Were they death camps or were they transfer camps to Palestine? And if they were death camps, then what are you doing still alive? You'll also find that there were 160,000 Jewish soldiers in Hitler's army, along with 12 Jewish generals and 2 Jewish field marshals. His own personal driver was a Jew. You can find no evidence of gas chambers at any of the prison camps. You can find no evidence of mass graves at any of the places they're supposed to be. And not even to mention the fact that with the facilities that were there in the camps, it was actually physically impossible to have processed that many bodies in that many years. And you can actually find over 270 references to 6 million Jewish people between World War I and World War II. You can also find claims of a Holocaust of 6 million Jewish people in World War I. You can find another one in 1921 in Russia. This has been claimed many times, and it simply didn't happen. It's just that they got the story to stick in World War II, and it gave them the opportunity to steal Palestine, which is what they've used it for. And I know that's going to offend people, but I really don't care. It's the way it is, and the German people should not be feeling the guilt that they've been forced to feel for a crime they simply did not commit. But it's the same thing. It's the collective guilt of the white races. Because when you're forced to feel guilty, you feel disempowered. You allow people to do things to you because you feel guilty. Oh, you're a sinner. You must allow yourself to be punished because you've done the wrong thing, even though you didn't do anything wrong. That is the purpose of forcing a collective guilt on people, is to disempower them, to prevent them from ever standing up for themselves and addressing the situation that they find themselves in. They will allow themselves to be destroyed because they feel that it's just that they should be. Everything is different to what we're told, folks, and it's this collective guilt. What's it there for? Who put it there? What is its purpose? Because I'm white, and I didn't kill anybody. I didn't destroy anybody. I don't go out destroying cultures and destroying civilizations. I'm a humanitarian, so why should I feel guilty, and why should it be a racial guilt that I'm forced to feel? Because the people in any race, in any nation, no matter how good they are, if they believe in the system, then they abide by the rules of the system, and the system forces them to do all these things that they don't want to do. All the wars that are being waged at the moment, the soldiers don't want to go and kill people, their government makes them go and do it. Are you going to blame the soldiers for being racist or being whatever? No, it's the psychopath that is controlling the system. So what is the purpose of the racial guilt that the white people are being forced to feel for crimes that they didn't personally commit? That's the question that I'm asking, and I'm really surprised at the attacks that I'm getting from people for simply asking this question, and the accusations of racist and white supremacist that I'm getting for simply asking this question and simply wanting to delve into history and ask what really happened, with having no stake in the outcome of what I find. Apparently there's a lot of people who have a real stake in the outcome of wanting to be the people who did it first. Whatever that means for them, I don't really know, but I really think it's counterproductive. And what we need to do is put everything aside and find out what the truth is. But even when you look at that mindset, folks, the need to be the one, the race who did it first, why would you even need to feel that? You only need to feel that because you've been disempowered through the previous cycle. Look what was done to the black people. They were completely enslaved. They were completely demoralized. Their country was destroyed and they were brought into slavery of the white people. So you give them a history that we've got no way of confirming yet, and you empower them to stand up against their terrible white oppressors. And while that's happening, you're disempowering the white people at the same time by giving them the collective guilt that you're giving them for what they did to the black people. So who sits at the back of this? Again, folks, I don't want to be wanting to be pointing the finger, but if you look at the Holocaust and you look at the Jewish influence over everything, well, you see a particular faith that is playing races off against each other. And again, I don't want to be pointing the finger at the Jews. I'm just pulling at the threads and seeing where they go. And even when you look at the history of the slave trade in Africa, well, this was started by Jews as well. And if you really want to start getting into origins of things, you start getting into languages and you look at the origin of the word Hebrew, who the Hebrews are. Where does the word Hebrew come from? It comes from the Mesopotamian word Hibaru, which means those who murder with webs. In other words, those who ensnare others and play them off against each other, which is what seems to be happening to the world. Not saying that is who's to blame. Perhaps they've got that influence from somewhere else. You've got to look at what programmed these people into acting that way as well. You know, when you look at the Jewish influence over everything, can you blame the Jewish people? Or are the Jewish people a result of the program that they've been subject to, which is making them do the things that they do? See, everything is a play, ladies and gentlemen. And when you look at it all, and you factor in the influence of the Jews, you factor in the influence of the Jesuits, and then you watch how the black and white races have been played off against each other, how the Muslims and the Christians have been played off against each other, and now all these groups are at each other's throats and want to kill each other, you get a little bit of a clearer picture about what's really going on here, folks. And we've really got to put all of this racial division down. We absolutely have to, because it is such a play, because we were living in harmony before. And this is what is very much suggested by the work that I brought you last week, the research of Attila Flink, and identifying the fact that there were actually white tribes living here with the Aboriginal tribes in Australia, and that the whole world was basically speaking Magyar. I mean, this is a very, very significant find, ladies and gentlemen, and it changes the perspective of everything. And what we've got to look at is what happened to disrupt that harmony that we were living in. And the blame doesn't lie with any race. The blame lies with the psychopaths who control the system, and it's really important that we put this into perspective and stop allowing ourselves to be played off against each other. And it's interesting people calling me a white supremacist for going down this rabbit hole, because like I said, folks, I may have white skin, but I'm also Noombal, so what race do I really come from? And why can't I investigate both sides of the spectrum without being called a racist for doing so? And if you think this isn't a program, well, I think you should look a little deeper, because of course it's a program. Now, divide and conquer is the motto, and everything is a play. And it's really important that people factor that in, and when they think they've found the answer and they've locked themselves into a belief system, to step back a little bit more and consider that there may just possibly be a bigger picture that they're not seeing. You know, for my part, I don't care who the first civilization was, who the first culture was. I don't care what color their skin was. I don't care who did what in the past. I mean, sure, I'd like to know what our real history is, because you steal a race's history, you steal their roots to who they are. They can never know themselves. I'd like to know. But not because I want to accuse anybody or point the finger at anybody. I just want us all to figure out how we got here so we can figure out how to change the direction that we're going. But ultimately, I don't care who did it. Not at this point. That can come later. But right now, I don't care what anybody did. I care about what we do from this point. Now we realize how much we've been lied to. Now we realize what a farce this whole system is. Now we realize how wrong our history is, just how much has been stolen from us. It doesn't matter who did it. What matters is what we do to get back to what we should be. Because once we get back to that point, I'm sure who did it will become very apparent. You know, I'm not saying that we don't want to find the culprits. I'm not saying that there aren't people to blame. I'm just saying that constantly looking for someone to point the finger at doesn't achieve anything. what will achieve something is walking to freedom. Then we'll have plenty of people we can point the finger at. They'll be the ones that are left behind screaming for us to come back and do what we're told. But at the moment, we have to stop fighting with each other and put all this stuff down and realize that nobody has a clue what happened in the past. And if we can all work together, put our belief systems aside and stop wanting to be correct, stop wanting to be the one, stop thinking that race or any of this stuff has anything to do with it. It doesn't matter who came first. What matters is the situation that we're in and how to extricate ourselves from this situation. And with all the solutions that people are looking for, they're just not seeing that the solution is themselves. The solution is to put all of this stuff down, to stop fighting with each other, to stop arguing with each other, and to let's all research and look and see what the bigger picture is and put all of our personal beliefs and our personal prejudices aside. We don't need any of them. They're all constructs. They're all put there just to keep us fighting, just to keep us squabbling, and none of them lead anywhere. And we're at a really important time now, ladies and gentlemen, we are. There's so much going on in the world. There's so much being rolled out right at our feet, the control grid, everything they're doing, the smart grid, and they're bringing this out because they're freaking out, because so many people are waking up. And you might doubt that, but I don't, because I'm feeling it. I'm feeling so positive in everything now. I'm feeling really inspired, really empowered through everything. No matter how many people attack me or whatever, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm just feeling very, very confident and very empowered, very inspired. A lot of people I know are feeling this way. People that you wouldn't even think, just realizing that something's wrong. People, just everyday people in shops, are just saying, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. This is ridiculous. Why are we doing all this? And so many people are having these thoughts, and that's what the government is freaking out about. That's why they're locking things down so quickly, because people have had enough. And it's growing, and it's growing all around the world, ladies and gentlemen. So don't think there isn't an awakening happening. I mean, it may not be a full awakening, but it's certainly an awakening of sorts. At least it is an awakening to the fact that we don't need to do this anymore, and that our governments have been leading us in a direction we don't need to go. And they're all basically a bunch of criminals, and we don't need them. And that's a good thing, and it could lead to something, but unless we are prepared to put down all this fighting and realize that none of this division is getting us anywhere, and having beliefs about anything doesn't help anything at the moment because none of us really know, then we're not going to make a difference at a time when we could. And it's important that we put it all down and get some focus and make some difference, folks. And all you got to do, like I keep saying, is just unite with each other. Put all this racial stuff down. Put all the religious stuff down. We don't need any of it. As I keep saying, divide and conquer is the motto, and all you do by supporting these paradigms is support this government system. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. There's plenty more to come. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so I find it very interesting actually looking down at all these rabbit holes of ancient history. And I find it very amazing the people who are simply not prepared to look at all directions, who consider looking in some directions to be racist. It doesn't really make much sense. I mean, with all the stuff we've got to look at and all the legends we've got of ancient history, there's no reason that we should be ignoring all the Nordic legends. There's no reason we should be ignoring the legends of Atlantis, of Lemuria, of Hyperborea, of all these other places that exist in these mythological tales. There's no reason we should be ignoring any of them. You know, we've got plenty of legends of this land sinking and white people coming from this land. We've got the legends of these people coming to South America. We've got the steels that depict it. We've got the tall red-headed mummies that were found in the Grand Canyon and that were also found in pyramids in China. Now, as I said, you know, with the work that was done by Attila Flink showing that there were white tribes and black tribes living here in Australia, the Aurigene tribes were both black and white. That's very interesting. Something else that's come up that I saw was the very distinct possibility that the Aurigene people that were here, especially in coastal communities, actually had organized communities with houses and organized crops. And when I say houses, these were like log cabins with mud plaster render over the top. They kept food in vessels. They had graveyards where they buried their dead. There's all sorts of this stuff being unearthed now. But this was all burnt by the British when they arrived because they wanted to portray to the world the concept the Aurigene people were simply nomads and had no structured society. But there's actually every indication that they did. I also question the concept of Australia actually being discovered by the British in 1770. and wonder whether it may have actually been discovered before that time, but simply hadn't been mentioned to people. I mean, of course, we hear of New Holland. It was discovered by the Dutch, and they called it New Holland. But I can find maps from the 14th and 1500s that clearly show all the South Pacific Islands and even New Guinea on the map. And that's extremely strange, folks, because if New Guinea's on the map, then how could they have not seen Australia? Because you can actually see the coast of Australia from the coast of New Guinea. You can see the very northern tip of Australia. So how could it possibly be that those maps could be there showing those islands, and yet they didn't know Australia was there, which causes me to ask the question, perhaps they did know it was here, and what were they doing here before they announced the discovery? I mean, who knows? It just seemed interesting when I was looking at these maps, so I just thought I'd put that out there as a thought. Something following on from the discussion of the Magyar language and the Hungarian language and how this all tied into the languages of the Australian Aborigine people. And I mentioned last week on the show that they say that the Hungarian language actually comes from a combination of Finnish and Ural language, but there's a man who's actually been trying to trace the origins of the Hungarian people, and he's found that all the people that come from the Urals have a particular gene marker, but none of the Hungarian people have that gene marker, and the gene marker they do have actually traces them down to the region of India. And when you look at the concept of the sunken land that we were discussing last week, Lemuria, the possibility of this being connected to Australia, the Australians speaking Magyar, the same root language as the Hungarians, you can actually tie the connection to southern India through Australia, through Lemuria, before it sank. So that's another possibility, just to be considered. I'm not saying it happened, but the possibility is there simply because the gene marker goes in that direction. And even looking for the origins of humanity, something else that people don't take into account is how much things have been changed and how much names have been changed and shifted around. I was looking at a researcher, a British researcher the other day, who was tracing the language himself. I think his name was Alan Wilson, and the clip was The Hidden History of Britain. And if you're watching this on the YouTube version, I'll be sure to put a link in the description below. And a lot of what he was saying was actually confirming the work of Attila Flink as well. And he was talking about the fact that the UK may not even be the UK. And in actually what we would know as Greek times, in the times of Ulysses, Ulysses always talked about sailing to a green island in the west, which we would assume would be England from where he was. And he named this island as Syria. And there's every suggestion that Surrey in England actually gets its name from Syria. So the extent that they've changed things is really quite dramatic, folks, and quite profound. He also found the story of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table and everything that these families did also recounted in Syrian history, which is also very interesting. So that's the problem when trying to uncover any roots to the past. You know, what we've got to go on, even the names of the places, we can't even be sure that these places are called by their correct names. We can't be sure that anything happened when we're told that it happened. Even looking at the concept of ancient Tartaria, the country of Tartaria being there, around about where Romania was in that general region. Of course, it probably encompassed far more ground than just Romania, but it was in that region anyway. But something appears to have gone wrong in that country. It appears to have been obliterated. And there's every possibility that that's when the Great Wall of China was built, to keep out whatever was happening in Tartaria, because an interesting thing about the Great Wall of China, they tell us it was built in 202 BC or something like that. And yet when Marco Polo went across Europe and went into China in the 12 and 1300s, he never reported that the Great Wall of China was even there. And if it had been there, you think that Marco Polo would have not missed this huge big wall that was running halfway across the country. You think it would have been something that he would have at least penned in his notes. And he didn't, because he didn't see it, because it probably wasn't there yet, because Tartaria hadn't fallen yet. And you might ask why he didn't report Tartaria as being there. Well, maybe he did, maybe he just called it India, because everywhere they didn't know where it was and was unexplored, they called India back in those days, which was why northern China was sometimes referred to as India, America was referred to as India, India was referred to as India, pretty well everywhere they hadn't been yet was referred to as India. You know, there's even reports from Alexander the Great of the people in India wearing furs and living in houses built of ice blocks, and of his soldiers drowning in 30 feet of snow and half freezing to death while they were in India. So India was pretty well anywhere in those days, folks. So we really have so little to go on in all of this. I mean, history is such a mishmash. Even the names of places, we're not even sure if these are the right places, and even the history attached to these places, we're not even sure if it comes from the right countries. So it's such a schmozzle. And trying to get to the bottom of it is a pretty mammoth task, but something that I'm finding to be quite remarkable is that any suggestion that I make of any type of peaceful culture that existed, any concept that we weren't all warring with each other, seems to be something that people find the most confronting. I'm finding there's so many people out there who simply want to hate other races and want to blame other groups and other sections of society for the problems they face. No one's really prepared to look at the mechanism behind it and the controlling hand behind the whole thing that's running the mechanism. I think it's important that people do, because when you do, as I said, you see that all of these factions have been quite purposefully played off against each other. Divide and conquer. Have everybody kill each other. And that's exactly what's going on. And that seems to be so ingrained into people's minds that even suggesting that we may have once lived in a peaceful society is just very, very confronting for them. You know, some people just seem to love to hate. It's a weird thing. You know, a show that I put out a couple of weeks ago, Everything is a Lie, the amount of racist comments I got, the amount of racist attacks I got on a show that the basis of it was essentially trying to put a stop to racism, but the problem was that I indicated there may have been something positive in the past of white people. And simply because I insinuated that or suggested it as a possibility, I got quite literally hundreds of racist comments from black people. And I found it amazing. I have so many black friends, and like I said, I'm Noongar myself, so it was just amazing to see the amount of racism that comes, the amount of programming that comes, and the amount of vitriol that was thrown at me for daring to investigate the roots of the color of my skin and to have anything positive to say about it, or not even something positive to say about it, but to merely suggest the possibility of something positive in the past history of the white race. The attacks I got were absolutely unprecedented. But if I was to speak out about the positive aspects of the history of the black race, you wouldn't have all of these people attack me. If I was to speak out about the positive aspects of the Chinese race, you wouldn't have anybody attack me at all. If I was to speak out about the positive aspects of the Indian culture or the ancient cultures of the Middle East, if I was to speak out about the positive aspects of the ancient Kashmiri culture or the ancient Egyptian culture, you wouldn't have anybody speak out or attack me at all. But if I even suggest that there may be something positive in the history of the white race, I become the enemy of the entire world. Very interesting. So I think I'll be pursuing this avenue a little bit further to see what all the fuss is really about. And as I mentioned earlier, I also find it incredibly fascinating that one of the things that people seem to find most offensive about what I've been saying is the mere concept that we ever lived in a peaceful society. Many people just seem to find the mere concept of peace between races to be utterly repulsive and something that they just seem to get violently angry about. What is that? Why would you get violently angry about peace? Like I said, some people just seem to want to hate. And even if we were to suddenly fall into some sort of peaceful society, let's say we were to all overthrow the governments now and all shift into a Vedic culture, there'd still be sections of that society who would want to blame the others for what had happened prior to coming into that new perfect society. Whatever positive scenario you can try to discover or present to people, there seems to be this emotional residue that they just refuse to let go of. What is that? And how to overcome that in people? You know, that's the thing, you know, we're at such a turning point in the human experience, and it's such an inspiring time and such a positive time and a time that we could make real change. And the only thing that is holding us back from doing this and actually stepping into our power is all of this division. And the programming is just incredible. The division in the community, it's quite shocking to see. I was actually really surprised at the amount of racist comments I got on that video I was mentioning before. It was really quite surprising for me to see how unprepared people are to look in all directions, how focused people are on whatever vision they have of what the past was, and how so many people will only ever consider things that reinforce their belief system. And it's like this in so many things that people are researching on the internet, in so many rabbit holes they're going down, they get locked into this focus, and they simply won't look at a bigger picture. They won't even consider a bigger picture. And it's always looking for blame in someone around them, the person over there with the different skin color who never did anything, that you've never met them in your life and you never really had anything to do with them and you don't know them, but because they're a different skin color, you'll blame them. And like I said, where do these things come from? All the racial division that people have. I mean, every person of every colored skin that I've ever met, I've gotten along with great. We've become friends, everybody. So my experience with racism in the personal world, in my personal interaction, all of this animosity between races is not something I've experienced. It's not something I've experienced in my life. I mean, sure, there was the experience when I was a child with Helen Kimber, but that was a different type of experience, and that was due to the programming that those kids received. But in a state of personal interaction, in my own personal interaction with people when traveling around the world, it's just not something that I've ever experienced. I've gotten along great with everybody. You know, we get taught all this stuff, we get told all this stuff, but really when you go and meet people, you don't experience it yourself. I mean, I'm sure there are people who have, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are people who've gone and experienced racist situations in their life, but this is usually due to programming anyway. Like I said, even with all the damage that the Jewish cult has done to the world, and I don't really have any qualms about saying that, they have, folks, they've done a lot of damage to the world. They've infiltrated everything, they've done a lot of bad stuff. But even with that, I don't blame the entire Jewish faith for doing that, because there's a certain mafia within that faith that has gone out and infiltrated the rest of the world. And it's the same with all cultures. There's certain white leaders that have done very bad things. There's certain white people that do bad things. There's certain black people that do bad things. Idi Amin did some terrible things to his people, but you don't blame all black people for the actions of Idi Amin. You know, a lot of the black leaders who sold their people into slavery to the Jewish slavers, who then went and sold them to the white people, I don't blame the black race for that. I don't blame the entire Jewish faith for everything these slave traders did either. I don't blame the entire white race for buying them. You know, everybody has been played, and we've got to see how we've been played and why it's been done in the order that it's been done, what it's all leading to in the end, and where it all comes from. And we've got to consider the possibility, consider the reality, that everything is in reverse. Everything's been reversed. Everything they've done has been reversed. If you really want to look at our languages, even our languages have been reversed. As I mentioned to you a show or two ago, English is suspected to be actually a phonetic reversal of Hebrew. And if you really start getting into the roots of Hebrew, you find that Hebrew is actually a shadow language. But you find that all of these cursive languages that we've got, these are all perversions, these are all reversions, these are all polar opposites, mathematically figured out polar opposites of what real language is supposed to be. I've been kind of delving into this a little bit lately, and you start to realize how everything has been polarized in reverse. And like I said, if you consider the possibility, they've even moved all the names of the countries around. We don't know where anything is. We don't know what we're saying. We're all speaking out of sync with the earth. We're all speaking backwards, out of harmony with this earth, and it's all been mathematically worked out. So it's a very, very interesting program that's been put in place, and everything we think has been reversed. All the blames have been reversed. If the person that you're looking at is someone you think you can blame, then chances are the blame has been put on them and the guilt lies elsewhere, because that's the way the system has been set up, to keep us looking in the wrong direction in everything that we do and blaming the wrong people for everything that has happened and never looking behind the veil to see where the real guiding hand is. Because we're too busy, caught up in this fight or flight situation. We're all too busy, caught up in our emotions, frustrated at the situation around us, and all we want to do is lash out at the people around us to get some energy from them somehow, because we've just got all this stuff and all this tension bottled up inside us, and it's all a construct. It's all been put there for us, folks, and we've got to put it all down. Now, what's wrong with loving each other? What's wrong with realizing that we have all been played? And it doesn't matter who lives in what country. It doesn't matter what race anybody belongs to. It doesn't matter what country we originally came from. It doesn't matter what we think our history may be. What matters is finding out the truth. And the only way we're going to do that is to realize what the tools are that have been used against us. And the biggest tool is division. It is the greatest tool the system can use against the people, the most effective tool that is used against the people, and it is the most constant tool that is used against the people. And all you have to do is look at our societies to see how effective it is, and all you got to do is look at some of the comments and the trolling that you get when you think a little bit outside the box on YouTube to see that it's rife in the so-called truth community as well. You know, divide and conquer is the motto, folks, and that is what is being done, and we have to put it all down. Like I said, it doesn't matter who came first. It doesn't matter what race, what color the skin was. It doesn't matter about any of it. I just want to find out what the truth is, and I have no stake in the outcome. I don't want any particular race to be anywhere. I don't want anyone to have come first. I don't care. I just want to know what happened. What got us into this psychopathic situation, and how do we get out of this psychopathic situation? Because while we sit here and continue to throw racist slurs at each other, the system is simply rolling itself out. 5G is coming to a lamppost near you. The IoT is coming to a shopping center near you. The whole thing is going smart. The whole thing is going digital. Social crediting is coming online. And we're sitting here screaming at each other at who came first and blaming the color of each other's skin for whatever our problems are. And it's all such a play. And everybody has to put it down. And realize that while we have all this focus and while we still continue to have these belief systems and think we actually know what's going on, we're never going to find out what the truth is. And we have to be prepared to consider all options. And like I said, just the amount of vitriol that I've got for going down this rabbit hole and wanting to investigate the roots of the white race really shows me that there's something to this. Because you don't get the flack if you're not over the target. I mean, I'm sure some of the comments have just been from people who've been programmed into racism, because unfortunately many people have. But the more attacks I get on this, the more I'm going to be looking at it. It's like when people tell me I can't investigate the Holocaust. You know, the only thing that really wanted to make me investigate the Holocaust was the fact that they told me I couldn't. And I'll tell you right now that 10 years ago, 12 years ago, if someone had come and told me that there was no Holocaust, I would have called them a Nazi, I would have thrown them out of my house. But then they told me I couldn't look. And I thought, well, hang on, if you're telling me I can't look, then I need to look. So I did, and what I found, that the entire story of World War II is a complete crock. That's why they tell you you can't look, because they don't want you investigating, and that's why they put legislation there to say you can't. But truth does not fear investigation, and if you have to legislate to stop people looking at something, then that something is something that people need to look at, and that's the truth. And it's the same with everything, folks. If you're told you can't look there, or you're attacked for looking there, then that's the place you should be looking. And the amount of vitriol that I've received for even suggesting the possibility that this ancient civilization may have been connected to a white race from the past has shown me that there's something in that, because otherwise I wouldn't be getting attacked the way I have been. So it's interesting the way things play out. But I just don't do fear. I don't do authority. I really don't do authority at all. The more people tell me I can't do something, the more I go and do it. I've just been kind of like that my whole life. It's got me into a little bit of trouble, but it's also led to some good places. So, and usually I've just done things anyway. I've always lived by the philosophy that it's far easier to get forgiveness and permission. So I just kind of go ahead and do things most of the time anyway, which is why I come up with these shows, I guess, and why I get the attacks I do when I come up with some of this stuff. But hey, as I always say, folks, I'm just putting my perspective out there. I'm just telling you what I'm thinking about this week. Whenever I come onto these radio shows, I don't really have anything planned. I just have a vague idea of what I want to talk about, and I just kind of tell you what I'm thinking, and who knows where it's going to go. Sometimes it does go to some interesting places, and it's really been fascinating to see the comments that I've received and the polarized thinking that many people have about history. I didn't think I'd get this type of a response from an investigation into history. I didn't think that so many people would have such large racial investments on what may be found, because, as I said, I don't have any stake in the outcome. I just go where the threads lead me, and it's been very, very interesting to see the response that has come from people. So I guess I'll just keep pulling at them and see where they lead, because it's been very revealing returning to my roots, as it were, and reinvestigating the past. As I said, there's been so much new information come out about the past in the last couple of years, and so it has been good to backtrack and go and check out some of this new stuff to add it to all the data that I already had. It's been quite a revealing process, and as I said, the reaction that I'm getting for doing this is also very revealing. And there's still so much more to look at. I will be bringing you some more on the work of Attila Flink sometime over the next few months. I've still got a lot of stuff to work out with all of that as well, and I do want to get back and check out what's going on with the whole 5G IoT smart grid as well, and see where that's going, get back on track with that a little bit too on some future shows. So there certainly is all sorts of stuff on the horizon. Everything really is kind of snowballing at the moment, folks. There's so much information to keep up with, and it's kind of difficult to get on top of it all, but we are doing it. And as I said, I'm feeling very inspired and very positive about the future. Even with all of the division that's happening, I see a bright future ahead if we maintain our focus and keep our energy levels high. Well, again, folks, we have reached that time where it is now the end of the show. Thank you for joining me on the air today. I know it's probably been a little bit of a confrontational show for people, but it's just some thoughts that I really wanted to share, because as an activist, as a person who has spoken out for the beauty and the worth of all races, it's very perplexing for me to see the attacks and vitriol I receive for simply suggesting something positive about my own. And with all this investigation into the past, there seems to be a real effort to shut down and attack and belittle and completely silence anybody who is going down this avenue that I'm going down, which of course makes me want to go down there a little bit deeper to see what the fuss is really all about. But people have to be prepared to put down all of this racial stuff. They really do. We've got to really find out what the truth is. And like I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who came first. It doesn't matter who built what or who did this or who did that. What matters is what got us into this psychopathic situation that we're in and how to extricate ourselves from this situation, because we're all suffering under the yoke of this slavery system, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody. And we're not going to fix the slavery system by screaming at each other and pointing the finger at each other and blaming each other and this color of each other's skin for whatever happened. Because, as I said, it wasn't races. It was the psychopaths who control the mechanism. And really, you want to look at the slave trade? Well, it was run by Jewish people. You had black leaders selling their citizens into slavery and selling them off to white people. So really, there were all races involved in making this happen. You just got to look at how it was all run and who's been set up to take the fall and why they've been set up to take the fall and what the deeper play really is. Because it's all like a set of dominoes, folks. They plan all this out and then they set the wheels in motion and they make sure it goes the direction that they want to go. So you really got to look at how you're being played. We all have to look at how we've been played through all of this. We've got to put all our division down and pull our energy away from this system and start giving it to the people around us, because we are all in this situation together. And that is really the only way out of this system. The only way out is to realize the system is fiction and we don't have to do what these people say. The only reason we do at the moment is because they use violence against us and they have weapons that they use against us. And we are too disorganized as a people simply because of our lack of respect for each other. That is the only reason. We are disorganized, and it's the only reason we remain disorganized. And all of it has been a play. Divide and conquer. Play the people off against each other so that they will never organize against you. That's what they've done. And we've got to see this, and we've got to put it all down. We really do. But like I said, folks, that is it for me. I've completely run out of time. Thank you to all the listeners of the show. Thank you to all the kind emails that you send me. Again, I'm going to be speaking at Anacapulco in February. It's the only talk that I'm going to be doing next year, and you'll find a banner to that on my website. And if you buy a ticket to that and use the coupon Crowhouse, you'll find you'll get a discount on your entry ticket, and it'd be good to see you there. It's going to be a great gig. Thank you again to all my supporters, all my YouTube subscribers. Thank you to all my Patreon supporters. Again, you are the only people who keep this show on the air, the only people who keep this research going, and I cannot thank you enough. But that is it for me now, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.